still the best now for more than 12 years. This is Radio Free Cybertron, hosted by Brian Kilby, with J.D. Church, John DeLuna, XV, Amy Morgan, Peter Van, and Rob Clay. For the latest Transformers news, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron. It really is. For August 16th, 2012, I am Brian Kilby. And with me, we have, fresh from auto assembly, Amy Morgan.
Hello.
You made it back.
I did. I you're really tired out.
No doubt. I mean, I have a hard enough time with BotCon, but
well, I also went on a vacation before that too for a week, so you know, it was kind of a double whammy.
I usually take vacation in 1 day increments, so
1 day increments.
That would like totally kill me. Also, we
actually
have,
you can take a vacation in like 3 hour increments.
Yeah,
it's true. You know, when you're unconscious.
That's true.
Very true, very true. To check out.
We also have Rob Clay and XV. Gentlemen, how's it going?
Not bad.
I think my eye might fall out, but other than that, pretty cool.
Yeah. That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
So on the show this week, we have the TFormers.com news desk. We also have comic news from Amy. She this week covers Regeneration 1, number 82. And More Than Meets the Eye, number 8.
Robots in Disguise, issue 8. It's okay. I'm sorry, Brian.
Oh, it's More Than Meets the Eye, number 8, wasn't it? Okay.
No, that's out tomorrow. That's out next week.
Oh, I read. Okay. It's More Than Meets the Eye, number 7 that I read. I'm like,
it's okay.
Huh, this is okay. It's not my favorite issue. It's okay.
What, of Robots in Disguise, or?
More Than Meets the Eye, number 7. Then I wanted you to review Robots in Disguise, number 8, so that you could tell me actually what happened.
Oh, okay. I think I did probably a little bit more than usual.
Yeah, I mean, I read it, and it's not hard to follow. It's just, and I hate to say it, but I read it, and, like, nothing, even the shocker ending, like, left no impact whatsoever. So I'm kind of, I was a little disappointed by that issue. Well, conversely, though, More Than Meets the Eye, number 7, just lots of crazy stuff happened that you basically had to have some context from reading previous material, and I didn't get all of it, but I still enjoyed it, so it's interesting.
Cool.
But so we have Regeneration 1, number 82, and Robots in Disguise, number 8, on Comics News this week. And also we have Transformers Rewind. This week it is The Low Road. Yep. The Low Road.
Wait, awesome sauce.
Didn't we have Low Road? Oh, yeah, that was. We were talking about that in preview last week, weren't we?
Yes, that was. Yes. And next week.
I'm sorry, I was tired.
That's okay. None of it. Last week, we were all, like, dragging. I had to have, like, 2 energy drinks to make it through the show. It was pretty bad. Pretty rough. Also, next week on Rewind, we have Enter the Nightbird. Amy is going to give us a recap of Auto Assembly, and we're going to finish up the show with Rescue Bots. Amy and Nicole this week. What was the episode that you guys talked about?
There were 2 episodes, actually. It was called Shake Up and Rescue Boy.
Shake Up and Rescue. Okay. I just caught Shake Up, so.
Cool.
Good thing I haven't posted this yet. It's like this week, Amy and Nicole talk about an episode of Rescue Bots. Sorry. Sometimes I just don't have time to actually put the effort into watching everything or reading all the news.
I'll just send you a blurb next time.
I love blurbs. Blurbs are fantastic. Blurbs make the world go round. Okay, let's go ahead and jump to the TFormers.com news desk, and we will be back right after this.
Hello, and this is the TFormers.com news desk for the week of August 16th, 2012. This is where we run down the biggest news of the week. I'm Peter Van.
And I'm JD Church.
Let's go to the news. First looks at Transformers Club figure subscription service, or FSS, Breakdown, Scourge, and Circuit have appeared on the interwebs. The Transformers Club Facebook page showed off Breakdown in robot mode, and also showed off Scourge and Circuit in vehicle mode. And Breakdown is also in robot mode, or vehicle mode as well. And what you should watch for soon is that the website in the next day or two will begin the subscription service.
Yeah. The I think that Scourge and Circuit were both in the Club magazine as well, because I got that just a few days ago.
Right.
I'm pretty sure those were in there as well. So if you're looking for non-digital in-hand pictures, I guess. Like, who does that anymore?
Glossy.
Right. Painted. but yeah, they did say it's looking like in the next couple of days, so...
Yeah, hopefully, right?
Finally, yeah.
And
I mean,
Ultra Mammoth will be the first figure, right?
So. Yeah, I guess they said that would be the first figure. That way, all of us who, the few of us who don't want that figure but want the service, can get all of our money back as we sell that one,
right?
Because that is totally my plan. I am going to get the subscription service. And I am selling Ultra Mammoth because I have the Scourge version and have no interest in having another one. So,
Cool stuff. Okay. New details on Takara Tomy's Transformers APS-01 Striker Optimus Prime, the Asia Premium Series. Oh my
God. Is this supposed to be like a superposable...
It is
kind of an action figure.
It is a Transformers Revenge of the Fallen redeco with insane, like, get like a bigger sword, and I mean not a bigger sword, a bigger shield, a bigger gun. So essentially, the silhouetted images show off a little bit teaser of the outlines and some of the things. Like in the one image, they show a shield across his arm, so that's pretty cool. It should be interesting, but it will come with features like metallic paint and chrome parts, special design packaging, and a bonus weapon. It's a bonus. We promise it's not poop, but it's a bonus.
So it's a figure that you maybe passed on with special features that they can charge you more for.
Well, it is an Asia Premium Series.
Well, right. So that, I guess what you're saying is that goes without saying? Is that what you're
saying?
Yes.
So okay. The answer is yes.
Okay. Okay. Very good.
All right. iGear is showing off some official images of their Mini Warriors. So Mini Warriors 03 Hench, not Brawn, and Mini Warriors 04 UFO, not Cosmos. These figures will ship in September.
I've kind of passed on these. I know Brian was getting these and got some of the previous set and said they were pretty good. I would say this Hench looks interesting, especially since he comes with both heads. I guess it has a turnaround feature, so you get the sort of the original looking like figure head plus, you know, the semi-show accurate head. Right. Or the head that's supposed to look like the show. But, so, I mean, that's kind of neat. I'm not, It's definitely the essence of Brawn. I don't know that I would say it's as much Brawn. But, you know, the generation figures and stuff are so far ahead of this that now that they do kind of seem almost past that point. But
yeah, but these are small little suckers. They're not, you know, they're not very big, so.
Yeah, they're not too bad. I mean, as far as like price point and stuff, yeah, they're not too bad.
Okay. Well, you guys should be kind of happy about this, right? The Transformers Creon Devastator hasn't even hit stores yet, and now you can get a G2 repaint of a Creon Devastator. And looks like this figure, instead of being the, you know, regular $299, or I believe it's $299. It is $399.
Because, you know, it's G2. Yeah. I'm the lone holdout on the in that I don't really care about G2.
What?
It's not. I exited Transformers before G2, so I had zero interest. So, yeah. I mean, I'm sure that the guys are happy about this, but I'm like, okay, I'll just take the green one. That's fine. I'll take a green one.
All right. Well, fine.
So,
Linkin Park has updated their homepage with new official looks of the exclusive action figure they and Hasbro are collaborating on, which is the Linkin Park limited edition Soundwave. The figure is it's a new mold based on the original 1984 toy, and it will include Laserbeak, Buzzsaw, and Ravage. And it will be gold painted and not coated or plated or anything like that. It will be painted. It is limited to 2,000 units and will be available at Linkin Park owned Suru. I think Johan or one of the band members owns Suru, which is in LA, and other comic book and hobby shops will be selling it as well.
Yeah. And they have mistransformed the Laserbeak and the Ravage as well, so bravo there.
It's gold plated.
They're saying it's a new. Oh, it can't be a new mold. It looks like a retool, maybe.
It might be like, yeah, it might. It's probably, you know what it is. It's probably, I don't know what it could be.
It's not. It's not even a new mold. That's the
it's probably
exact
just reused
same.
Mold.
It's a reuse. Yeah, it's the same. It's the original. Now, it's not the Sound Blaster mold. It's because it doesn't have the double door. It just has the single door. But that pretty much looks like the same mold. But they have
bad information that they gave us. Yeah, I don't remember it being an original either.
They
have mold either. So
let me tell you how screwed up these weapons are too. If you're looking at this picture, they have Rat Bat's backpack rockets. I guess it's backpack radars in the wrong holes on Ravage. They have Laserbeak's vents and weapons flipped so that they're on the wrong side, and then they have Ravage's rockets on Ratbat.
So you're saying that they did a good job with these official pictures?
At least Soundwave is transformed correctly, but I would bet that that's a Photoshop and not...
At least his cannon is facing forward.
Yes, at least his cannon...
But the bright side is, in the alternate modes, all three are cassettes, and Soundwave is a cassette player.
Now, yes, all three are cassettes, but I am pretty sure that they are... With the backs,
they are.
So they have managed to even display them in the not quite best way. So
who QAs this stuff?
Bravo! Whoever set that up, good job.
Good job, official interns.
Yes. Sometimes.
Well, that brings us to finally. Remember that next Tuesday is August 21st, and that means the launch. Transformers Fall of Cybertron.
Oh, you're saying my wife comes home. That's
oh, what... well, yeah, that too. I mean, that congratulations too. To you. We'll celebrate that as well while we're blowing away other robots. But, so August 21st is the official release of Transformers Fall of Cybertron. After a wee year or so of getting just blasted in the face with tons of High Moon things, you finally get to get your grubby little hands on the game next week. And starting today, if you really want it, you can go and buy IDW's online-only bi-weekly comic. It is an 8-issue comic that is a prequel to Transformers Fall of Cybertron. And if you want to know more about the game or just, learn, just watch a crap ton of more gameplay footage. Tformers.com has tons of videos. Just click on Fall of Cybertron link right on the top of the page. You
Yeah, I downloaded the demo and I played through. I played through like once on the Vortex, and it was really hard. And then someone suggested that I change the controls around, and that helped a lot. Having the transform button, as I play on PS3, having the transform button on like the L3 was awful. So
is that the stick? Is that the that's analog the stick? Click?
Yeah, if you click on the analog. So if you're trying to like move, you'll accidentally transform and die.
Yeah,
because
that,
something kill you.
Actually, you should have had it on the. Oh wait, L3 is the right. Yeah, actually, no. That's how it's
it
mapped
should be
on
like,
That is also how it's mapped on 360. So.
Yeah, and that's not necessarily a great idea. So yeah. I remapped it to like the L2, and that worked a lot better. But no, the demo is actually pretty good. It had the Vortex mission and a Bumblebee mission. Mm-hmm. So
and I feel like there's another mission in there somewhere.
Yeah, there's the multiplayer as well. So
no, I thought there was three. No, you're right. There. No
two. Way. Yeah, I think it's two plus a multiplayer. I may be wrong, but no. I mean, that's so. I mean, so far from what I played the demo, it looks great. I'm planning on getting this one. I didn't get War for Cybertron, but I'm planning on getting.
Oh, that's why you didn't know about the weird discrepancy of the L3 being the transformer.
Yes. Yeah. And they carried it over to this game, I guess, despite people complaining. So
it's just because you're a noob.
That's it.
A lot
that
of
must
people don't actually have issues with that.
Right.
Just a noob.
It's so. Probably. I would believe that. so. Yeah.
All right. Well, that will do it for this week of TFormers.com News Desk. Remember to check all of your latest and greatest Transformers news on TFormers.com, and also check out great discussions on RFC live every Thursday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time and at tfradio.net. So I am Peter Van.
I'm JD Church.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Go Steelers.
Thanks, guys. A couple things have happened since then. At tformers.com, we posted pictures of not Ironhide and not Ratchet, some better photos, and those are... I want those. I can't help it. I really can't help it, but I want them. They look so much better than the classics ones that I never got. And they only go for like about 1 2/3 the price of one of those. So when I feel more ripped off by paying aftermarket prices on those classics or, you know, going rate for the not figures.
What?
I should just save my money.
You don't know how to do that.
That's true. Also,
I mean, I've been shopping with you. You have no idea how to not spend your money.
Walmart smells like fart.
Well, yeah.
So that's true. God, I wish that wasn't true. Let's see.
Here. Yeah, I wish that Walmart didn't smell like fart too.
But I did get the Lego Minifig Series 6 there. I was very, very pleased with that. More in-hand images of the Asian exclusive metallic 6-shot G1 reissue that costs like 5 times too much. It's out of the package. Looks nice. Unlike some of the other recent sort of tweaks that Takara's done, I guess I can bring this up on the screen here. I do want to show this off. Unlike some of the recent reissues, most notably like Pretty King, that they just changed so much that it really only vaguely resembles the original toy, at least in theme. I really do think that adding the chrome helps Six Shot a little. Not like a lot, but it nicely accentuates it. Where adding like the gold paint to Pretty King just makes it kind of look... I mean, they tried to make that toy look less silly. Because...
Missing the point entirely.
Yeah, missing the point entirely.
to look cute, adorable, and play school.
Yeah.
Or they're not Predacons.
But it looks good. It looks good. It looks like it does have stickers, so they've retained stickers with the toy. Instead of turning those into tampographs or something. At least it looks like stickers. I haven't actually seen a sticker sheet with the toy to confirm that.
And maybe they're factory stickers, then.
They could be factory stickers. That's true. The toy's, what, $275, something like that?
Well,
I'm not sure, but it's too much.
Just completely ridiculous. It's an okay toy, not a fantastic toy. If that were $70, I would say buy it, but...
Right,
Can't justify that. cannot justify that. I really wish that... I hope that they make, like, a lot of those so that I can get those on clearance, like, in a couple of years. I would take 3 of those. Then they should release Quick Switch. Or not. But, yeah. Let's see here. What else? One thing I wanted to mention. I guess you guys, probably none of you caught Rob Springer's RFC RTM1 from this week, right? So this week he talks about some of the items that our pal Crazy Steve has posted on his website, the Roboplastic Apocalypse. You should actually go to Facebook and like the page. We'll include a link in the show notes. It's great. Steve goes in and posts all of these interesting advertisements, articles, clippings from newspapers, magazines, really interesting information. Like, I remember reading the New York Times review of Transformers the Movie on Steve's site. Just lots of neat stuff. But this week he posts ads from BotCon, like the original BotCon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The BotCon before the BotCon that we have right now.
Yes. Pretty much. So, like, from 1994, wasn't it? That was the first BotCon.
Oh, wow.
Ask Don.
Yeah, Don was there. I think it was 94. So it was, like, 17 years ago. 18 years. No, 94. Oh, my God. 94 is 18 years ago.
Yeah.
No, so I guess it was 95. Wow. So,
I wonder what kind of awesome G2 breakdown we'll get for the 20th BotCon.
We got a pretty good G2 breakdown already, so...
I know, that's what I'm saying. I wonder what we'll get for the 20th anniversary, because, you know, they'll have to do one the anniversary BotCon.
Maybe we'll get a G2 Motor Master.
Yeah, it's kind of become perennial at this point. No, what it'll be is, like, a G2 animated breakdown.
What it'll be titanium Rodimus painted as Motor Master with neon.
Titanium Rodimus G2 Menosaur. You know, I could kind of get behind that.
That would be the worst thing ever. that would be the worst thing ever. But on our RFC RTM1, Rob talks about the stuff that Crazy Steve posts. He just sort of mulls over the concept that he is getting so old so quick, and we are all right there with him. I really like Rob's YouTube show, sort of a companion piece for people who haven't, who've only, you know, Rob hasn't actually been on the show on a regular basis in like 2 years.
It has been 2 years? It's been, I don't think,
like,
it's been that long.
You've been around for like 2 years, haven't you, Amy? Something like that? Close to it?
About 3.
Oh my God.
I haven't been like podcasting for about 2 years. But on
RFC. It's not close to 2 years if it's not
RFC. I've only been here for 2 years now. Yeah. But I was listening for a year before that.
But Rob, you were never on like regularly with Rob, right?
Mm-mm.
Rob Springer.
So, no.
Yeah, Rob
no.
hasn't been on the show like, I think, 2 years.
I think I came in right as he was going out, so.
Yes. Yeah. So it's not
sad and terrible that he's been on that long.
I miss Rob so much.
It's like, you get rid of Rob and you get me.
I love Rob.
Thank you.
Rob, you know, I love Rob. That's why Rob needs his own YouTube show. That's why he has it.
Absolutely. I agree with you there.
He can Rob it up for like 10 minutes. But it's a great companion to RSC.
And you would be entertained by that. That's the funny part, is that he's just so entertaining, even if he doesn't really give you a whole lot.
He's hilarious. And for those who love and miss Rob, definitely check that out on YouTube. One thing I wanted to mention before we go to comic news. The subscription service for G.I. Joe posted this past week. $300.
Wow.
I don't know that I can justify $300 for Big Boa. I mean, I'm tempted, but I probably will just... Actually, Big Bad Toy Store's already sold out of their Big Boa pre-order. I'm sort of screwed. But
so that's about $25 a figure?
Yeah, something. That's about right. Which is a little high. But that's 13 figures total. 12 figures plus a subscription freebie or a special 13th figure. Details as of the recording of this show have not been posted for, I don't think, for the Transformers subscription service. But
no, but as of the time of the recording, they had advised via their Facebook page to watch for that to go up the next couple days.
Exactly. So by the time you catch this, it may already be out there. But $300 for the G.I. Joe 13 figures, Transformers 6 figures. What, 5 of them are deluxes, and we have one, like, ultra class.
Ultra.
So are we looking at... $300 is probably about right.
It'll probably be more.
So if they charge about $50...
Well, okay, I mean, they said at BotCon that these are just going to come in, like, mailer boxes. So the cost of the packaging isn't going to be an issue.
Well,
so
I don't think it'll be less than the G.I. Joe.
Theoretically, it could cost less than a BotCon set.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be less than the G.I. Joe set, though. But I guess my question is, you know, the $300 price point's a little more than I was hoping for G.I. Joe. I really want the
right.
Big Boa. I really want that. It's Dice, I think. Is it a Slice? I think it's Dice. I wanted that. And the Claw. The rest of them are sort of, you know, nice to have. The Nano Bat I would like to have since I have a, you know, a thing for bats. But I really want the Transformers subscription service.
You want Ultra Mammoth. That's what you want.
Yes. I already told Kim. I told her in the car this weekend. This was probably one of the weirdest things I said. It's like, well, remember that G.I. Joe subscription service that I wanted? Well, I'm not going to buy it. Which, was a shock.
Yes, but I'm sure at the same time she knew something worse was coming.
Yeah, it's like it's $300. I can't justify it. The Transformers subscription service, though, no matter how much it is, I'm buying it. So I expect it to be about the same.
I'm sure that was a great ride in the car after that.
Yeah. I didn't get punched. I didn't.
Yes, but sometimes not getting punched is the worst response of all.
That's true.
Yeah.
I can justify it more, even though it's fewer figures and they're only deluxes for the most part. I can justify $300 for Ultra Mammoth.
I think at this point I kind of lost interest in the subscription figures.
Because it's taken so long for details to actually come out?
Well, in a way, I guess. It's more like so much time has passed, I've been able to sit and realize I don't really care about how they're doing what they're doing.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Like, doing Robots in Disguise Scourge off of the Laser Prime mold, which its hands stress and get marks all over them as soon as you put the sword in the first time.
Yeah.
That's no fun.
It's not like black is a more forgiving color. I guess his hand would be gray or something. So that might be more forgiving as far as the stress marks go.
Well, except, Shattered Glass Prime had different colored hands too. Those did it. Ultra Magnus had the same problem. It's just a problem with that mold.
It's not a very good mold.
You know, Circuit's kind of cool, but at the same time, I don't feel like I need a third iteration of that mold, even for what it is. You know, it just kind of goes on like that. It's good ideas, but I don't really care that much about what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
I may end up signing up for the club this year, though, to get the depth charge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's definite. What about Breakdown?
Honestly, I'd rather have a G2 one.
Interestingly enough, on Facebook. We had a couple of people on our Facebook page, like our Facebook page. Diecast just unliked this so that we wouldn't be at 1,000. So
he really liked us, and Don liked Don, a friend of Don's, also liked us. So we are now at 1,000.
Woo! That'll last an hour. But thank you, Don's friend. Thank you very much. But someone had pointed out that the upcoming Fans Project Minasaur set is a much more appealing purchase, which I can sort of see, except for the price tag, because it's going to definitely eclipse the subscription service. So,
the Fans Project people at TFCon were projecting $50 per figure for the limbs.
Holy crap, how are they doing that?
Well, they're probably going to be the same size as the Crossfire upgrades for Bruticus. So, you know, it'll be like small deluxes, big scouts, and those sold for about $50 each.
Well, completely blows my theory out of the water.
Minasaur, though, is likely to be about 100, or Motormaster, I mean.
Motormaster, yeah. So, looking at about $300, so about the same. Man. So... crap. Well, I still want Ultra Mammoth. Ultra Mammoth's worth it, dude.
On AllSpark, now I've been following, there's a thread about where ever since the production samples were shown, people have been talking about the stuff they actually want from the subscription service, what they plan on selling off, and it looks like, you know, if you have the right connections, it's not going to be hard to put together your ideal subset of the subscription figures.
Explain.
Like, if you only want two or three pieces out of it, it does not look like it's going to be difficult to find somebody who wants to sell
those particular I get that. I mean, there's probably...
You know, you can get your custom assortment without too trouble.
I figure of all of them, Circuit will be the one that's going to be the easiest to get a hold of.
Yeah, I think so, too.
But yeah, but Ultra Mammoth will be the one that will be hard to get a hold of.
Maybe, maybe not. It's really hard to say. I think Breakdown's going to be kind of popular because it's something people have been wanting off of that mold for a long time, even with the G2 one out there.
Yeah. On the one hand, he's a requested character. On the other hand, I have to admit he's kind of boring looking.
Well, of course, it's G1 Breakdown.
Yeah.
There's only so much you can do with that.
Yeah.
I think that and Scourge are probably going to be the hotter ticket items. And everything else is going to be a varying stage of disinterest.
Ultra Mammoth will probably be balanced out by people who actually try to transform it and then decide to sell it. I think that'll kind of help things.
I can't believe that I'm actually still able to transform that toy. I don't know how.
I can transform that toy. It takes a while, but I can transform it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like I do an alternator.
So when it's packaged in robot mode, there's no real reason to ever transform it. But if you get the Beast Wars Neo version, you basically have to transform it once.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
Okay. So I wanted to mention the subscription service. I know Peter and JD had talked about it, but I wanted to get my two cents in because Ultra Mammoth. There we go. Let's go ahead and jump to comic news with Amy Morgan. We will be back right after this.
It's now time for comic news with Amy Morgan.
It is Amy, and I'm back once again from vacation with Transformers Comics News and Reviews in 5 minutes. Yes, it might not be 5 minutes, but it's my tagline, and I'm sticking to it. Today I have a little visitor because kids haven't completely gone back to school yet, and I need to get this video done, so you'll have to mind the noise. But yes, first, to remind everybody, you can pick up Autocracy Trade. If you haven't gotten it in digital, you can now have it in your hand. You can read it. Yay! Don't forget it. Go get it. Also, while I was out, this arrived over vacation time. So you can pick up your Classics, UK volume, issue number 3. Lots of goodness in it, and yes, you definitely want to get it. Alrighty. Those are those two bits. Next, we have, check out the Transformers Facebook page. There's another creator commentary for Robots in Disguise, issue number 8. Happy birthday to Derek J. Wyatt, because he just had a birthday. Okay, and the last, and certainly not least, now that Autocracy in the digital form has finished, we will be receiving this month the next digital version. I didn't realize it was going to be out this month, but I got back from vacation and went, oh, snap. CBR put a nice little detail out about the two comics that were announced at San Diego Comic-Con. The Fall of Cybertron digital bi-weekly tie-in will be released sometime this month. I don't know when. I just looking found out that it is. That's the one that's going to be written by John Barber, and the artist is Dheeraj Verma. I found some artwork. I hopefully will put some artwork up right across here. You can see. Looks pretty interesting to me. I'm actually kind of looking forward to it, so we'll see how that goes. In November, we will be getting Rage of the Dinobots, so that one will be available then. So I don't have the artist and writer details in front of me. Mike Johnson, I think, something like that. But I did find some information about it. And hey, we've got a few months until then, so I will get more details out. Please go sit down. But yes, the digital comic will be coming out sometime this month, and it appears that it will be 99 cents, same as Autocracy was. So it's a really good thing. Hopefully everything will go well. Please go sit down. Yeah. And with that, I will flip over to a comic review, because we have two of them that I haven't been able to review. So I've had a chance to pick mine up. Transformers Regeneration 1, issue number 82. There's scribbles and stuff all over it. Yeah, don't mind those. Sorry, I can't help it. I took it to a convention and I got it signed. Yay, everybody, the whole team. Furman, Wildman, Baskerville, Beauvais, and Cardi, who also did the cover of this one. Anyhow. We find out on this comic, basically, what's been going on Earth with Megatron taking over and all of the kaboom that happened in 81 now is here. A few little spoilers. I'm trying not to spoil the heck out of it, but oh my gosh, it was pretty fun. Wreckers are not so wrecked, but they are still in really dire situations. Megatron is freaking incredible. Crazy insane. It's just kind of nice to, because we haven't had him over in More Than Meets the Eye and Robots in Disguise. He's kind of just disappeared since Chaos. We don't know where he is. So it's kind of nice to be back in a comic where he's kind of just crazy and just killing things and just poning everybody left and right. It's great. We find out the Decepticons that are there are the ones that we thought were dead. They're pretty much like zombie-fied. And Starscream isn't sort of zombie-fied, but still he's like really being... he's definitely Megatron's... I can't say that on RFC, but rhymes were witch. So yes, he's Megatron's little witch. So yeah, the Wreckers, they have their run-in with Megatron, and I'm not going to reveal too much there, but we find out by the end just what he's done to Ratchet, which is, oh my gosh, yeah, Ratchet, poor Ratchet.
Yes!
We also find out about Grimlock and what he's up to, and then Ultra Magnus has a moment, and then something happens to Cup. I can't say anything else other than that because I don't want to spoil the heck out of it. It's a good issue. It's still building to something. There is a little bit of payoff in it, but not a ton. When I interviewed a few people at Auto Assembly, They said that 85 is going to be pretty epic, and a lot of payoff is going to be in that one. So, yeah, definitely pick this one up. It's working for me. I'm really, really happy with it. So, yeah, definitely go pick that up. And now on to Robots in Disguise, issue number 8. The Dinobots are back to continue our Dinobot month. We have Ironhide takes the lead with these guys, and they go off into the wilderness to find the aerial bots and to check out some signal that they are finding out in the middle of nowhere for whatever reason. So while he's off doing that, Bumblebee is still trying to deal with Starscream and Metalhawk and all of the drama that they cause. And we just get moments of both of them, so it's kind of fun. And Prowl kind of steps in and says some stuff, so I'm not going to reveal what he says, but yeah, it's politically speaking, yeah, Bumblebee. He's just kind of got himself into a little bit of a pickle. Meanwhile, Swindle gives a little tidbit of information to Shockwave, so he's probably going to start getting involved, at least it hints that it might go that direction. And then we go back to Ironhide out in the wilderness with the Dinobots, and they start acting a little weird. Like the signal that they're going out there to find is doing something to them, maybe. Or maybe there's something else going on. I don't know. There's some things happens in the end. I was actually kind of worried that somebody might be taking them over because of the way that they were acting. I don't know. And toward the end, well, some battle damage goes down, and somebody might have potentially gotten hurt. But you have to read the comic to find out who. But yeah, it was a really good issue. It's building to, it's getting these little things in there. It's like setting the scene for like the political stuff that's going to go on with Bumblebee. And then you're wondering what the heck is going on with Ironhide. Is he okay? Are these guys going to make it back to Iacon? What's going to happen? What are they going to find? Who is out there? Who is out there? Anyhow. So yeah, I was pretty happy with this issue. Definitely recommend both of these. Regeneration 1, 82. And Robots in Disguise, issue number 8. And that will be it for this week. These have already been out, so if you haven't picked them up, go get them. I haven't picked up my Robots in Disguise, issue 8 yet, because I've been on vacation. So, no, it is what it is. But I got this one. Anyhow, that's all in the news, and we will see you next week. Goodbye!
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
New spark-spitting Sparkabots and fire-breathing Firecons. There's 6 to collect.
They got the power to surprise.
Silverhawk, partly metal, partly real, mighty warriors with the powers to protect space from all evil.
Mumbo Jumbo and Sky Shadow attack the Silverhawks.
Prepare the Mirage! Battle Station!
The Mirage figures in Sky Shadow sold separately. The Mirage fires its missiles and its hot seat.
Miss!
Copper Kid and Steel Will release. As the Mirage disappears.
Sky Shadow and Mumbo Jumbo, you're surrounded.
There's you.
There's me. And the Mirage.
Silverhawks.
Radio Free Cybertron.
Transformers.
Rewind.
This week on Transformers Rewind, it's the Low Road. Yes, that episode.
No, not that.
Maximal Base has been overrun with wild bean vines, Rattrap and Dinobot are having a bit of a fight over gardening detail, And wouldn't you know, the Predacons decide to attack at that very moment. It's inconceivable, isn't it? Rhinox goes to cover Dinobot and Rattrap's retreat inside, but while he's waiting for them to stop bickering, Tarantula shoots him in the face, infecting him with a special virus that will cause him to discharge his body's Energon, which is soon demonstrated as he blows apart his CR chamber with an Energon-enhanced sneeze. Dinobot and Rattrap are sent out to find Tarantulas in order to get a cure, while Cheetor and Optimus work on keeping Rhinox functioning in the meantime. It doesn't take long to catch Tarantulas, but success is short-lived as Dinobot and Rattrap go down the hole. Tarantulas gets to jump on the Maximals until a rock falls on him. It was a big rock. By now, Rhinox has been connected to the Axelon's power, which succeeds only in draining the base's batteries. Optimus decides that a direct attack on the Predacons is the only choice and calls Arizer and Tigatron to help. Rhinox wants to go with, but can barely stay on his feet, so Optimus suggests he gets a snack to boost his energy, and there just happen to be plenty of bean vines nearby. Rattrap and Dinobot follow a tunnel and are about to move on Tarantulas' lab, but the Predacons are waiting for them. Dinobot's attempt to utilize Tarantulas as a hostage doesn't quite work out, but Rattrap uses a convenient ventilation duct to get behind and disarm most of the Predacons, just in time for Rhinox to blow through the opposite wall. Megatron has the countervirus, though, and forces the Maximals to all surrender and go to beast mode. Rhinox is having some difficulty with all those beans he ate earlier, though, and they save the day with an unexpected interaction with the discharged virus. The lab is now in ruins, the Maximals have the countervirus, and Megatron has memories that will last a lifetime.
Oh, no! Not that!
Not just blurred out, Rhinox hit Megatron with a car.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, structurally for season one, I can understand why they did an episode like this. You know, they're about to kick off into the story arc that finishes out the season. It's, you know, more serious, heavy stuff going on. So let's have a little bit of fun before we have to get through all that.
Yeah. You know, this is one of the episodes that, I'll admit it, I was sort of a bandwagon fan for Beast Wars. I didn't climb aboard until the second season. So this episode holds no real appeal for me. I can't look back at it with nostalgia. I just think it's bad.
You suck. I mean, yeah, seriously, there's really no other way to say it. You suck.
Rhinox falls.
I don't understand why you would hate it so much. I mean, it's just a fun episode.
I don't hate it. I don't think it's good. I think it's bad.
Hating a little bit. I feel a little hate going on.
Yeah.
It's not like bad, and I can say, oh my god, it's so bad, it's good. It's just kind of bad.
I mean, why? Can't you just accept comedy for comedy's sake?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like, why is it bad? Why do you say
I didn't laugh.
That's because your soul is dead.
Yes.
You didn't feel a mild tickle under the, you know.
Maybe it's because with us, Rhinox farted, it has become such an in-joke that it really can't match up to my memory and new expectations.
No, I don't think that's it, because I watch it and I still laugh.
I thought it was a fun... I didn't actually remember this episode. I haven't seen Beast Wars for quite a bit. So I actually, you know, the smaller ones that aren't part of the major arc, like the Low Road, I thought it was a highlight. I was like, oh wow, I forgot this episode and it was funny. I mean, who knew fart jokes were still funny to me, but they are.
I do like the fact that they were able to get a fart joke in. I appreciate that. I think that's great. And it makes sense because these, you know, Transformers are partially organic. So they would fart. It's not, you know, inconceivable.
Especially when there's an Energon discharge virus in the works.
Exactly.
But Rob, you came into Beast Wars kind of late, relatively speaking. So what's your take on this episode?
I think it's decent enough in and of itself. You know, it's funny. I don't really have a strong feeling for it one way or another. It's, you know, it's not bad. It's not great. It's a solid episode, and it's, you know, one thing that did strike me between this and the other Beast Wars episode we watched for this is that one of the things that Beast Wars does better than almost any other series I have watched for this so far is that they actually, you know, they use this secret television technique of having an A story and B story. Other Transformers series do not seem to be able to grasp this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Prime does a little bit of it, not much.
No. A little bit. Yeah, it's like that's I said, really everything. Everything I've watched for Rewind so far, it's, you know, been pretty much one story proceeding in a straight line. And, yeah, I mean, even on things like this that are not connected to a you know, overarching story and are not do not have really a great consequence outside of the episode itself, it's still a little more interesting than just one linear story that, like, I'm getting with everything else here.
I think that's a good point. I mean, it is one of Beast Wars' strengths that they can go back and forth between the elements. You know, one or the other story might be kind of weak in comparison, but, I mean, they're still trying to split up the time a little bit.
Yeah.
It makes it more interesting and easier to watch, I think.
It also gives you a chance to use all your characters and not have, and even when there's an episode that is, you know, focusing on one particular character, I mean, do you call this a Dinobot and Rat Trap episode? Do you call it a Rhinox episode? There's a little bit of both, but again, everybody is actually in play and doing something, and I think that's really important because, again, most other Transformers series don't manage to do that either.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like, with animated, you would have characters being absent because, okay, we can't have all the voice actors we need in every episode. But with mm-hmm. Beast Wars, you know, on any given week, you could have every single character make an appearance and have a line.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's the advantage to having Scott McNeil voice half of them at once.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not dismissing that as a quality either. but no, I mean, like, I guess on an intellectual level, there's not a whole lot to the Low Road. You know, most of what it does through visual gags and situations. You know, Rhinox being surrounded by the growing pile of bullets from his guns. I like the part at the end, too, where they got the counter virus strapped onto him like a beer hat.
Yeah, that was awesome. I thought that was funny, too, yeah.
Because that is, of course, the ideal way to administer a counter virus.
Oh, no. Not that.
So, we are back. Don't forget, next week, Enter the Nightbird. Fantastic episode. Completely illustrative of Generation 1. Yeah, so why are you building a gigantic evil robot ninja? For the good of the world! Best episode ever.
No, now look, it's kind of telegraphing the end if you call it the giant evil ninja robot.
That's true.
Until that point, it's the giant ninja robot for science.
For science.
Built by the famous scientist, Dr. Fujiyama.
Yeah, she's primitive by Autobot standards, of course. Yeah, okay. Hey, Amy, you got back from auto assembly.
I did.
How was that? So tell us, walk us through what it's like going to auto assembly. How is it different than BotCon?
We have a Saturday night program. After we do a script reading, and we also have a cosplay contest in front of everybody in the assembly. They have a karaoke night, and so everybody just kind of either hangs out at the bar or goes to karaoke, and that goes until about 1 o'clock.
It's like official,
It's official. Yeah, it's right there. It's put on by Auto Assembly. It's part of their program, and the only it's not just like walk-ins can go. It's people that have bought the whole weekend are welcome to stay for the whole evening festivities, which is the cosplay competition, the script reading, and then of course the karaoke afterwards. So as part of it's included if you buy the full weekend pass.
Very cool.
But if you're just a walk-in, then no, you kind of can't go. So. but yeah, Friday night is usually when it starts. You'll have you go in and actually see everything that's going on that's in the dealer room. But the difference this year is that they actually played the 1986 movie on the big screen, and And then Paul Eiding and Michael Bell got up and kind of sat and did their commentary to the movie. So that was really great. Okay. Only thing is, I didn't get to see it because I was sitting in the bar talking with Townsend Coleman for 2 hours.
Michael Bell is a very colorful individual. I'm certain
he is.
Would have been fantastic.
That's a tough call right there. I'm not really sure which would be the better time.
So, according to everybody that saw it, which wasn't me, obviously, they said it was hilarious. They were brilliant. So I wish I'd seen it, but I was kind of busy.
So I guess it wouldn't be fair to ask, but as far as size goes, how big would like the convention or the dealer area be compared to, say, like BotCon? Probably, it's got to be smaller.
It's a little bit smaller, obviously, because it's not as big, but it was a huge room this year. We changed hotels this year from the Holiday to the Hilton, and it was just fabulous. Like, when we've been in I've gone the last 3 years, the last 2 years that I've gone to the Holiday, and it kind of felt like it was kind of really claustrophobic feeling. This year, I did not feel that at all. I felt like, wow, if we end up reaching 1,000 people, this could easily fit that or more. I mean, I just felt like the hotel really had plenty of accommodations for us. They had 720 some odd attendees this year, which is 200 more than they did last year. So, I mean, hey, if they keep on, you know, at least getting 100 every year or more, you know, in the next 3 years, we're going to be well over 1,000.
Yeah, wow. I can remember when BotCon wasn't, like, even to that. I mean, that was, like, 97, 98 numbers, something like that. I mean, you know, I mean, it's been a while, but, I mean, BotCon is the official Transformers, you know, convention, so...
It is.
So what would you say were some of your highlights this year?
Definitely talking with Townsend Coleman that first night was definitely a highlight. He found me before the end of the convention, said, hey, friend me on Facebook. And I was like, oh, okay. And we've actually been talking via Facebook. So I was like, oh, this is really awesome. Let's see, another highlight. Friday, I got some art from my co-host on the underbase. And so me and the guy that went in on it, we gave him his artwork, and he was just flabbergasted and speechless about that. So it was really cool. What else? What other highlight? I did karaoke, so I really enjoyed doing that.
I wish BotCon had official karaoke.
They should. They totally should. Especially, you know, because, like, it doesn't seem like afterwards that a lot of fans, like, gather in one place. This last BotCon, it was kind of hard to... I mean, they did gather in the bar and stuff like that, but in previous ones, it just seems like there's nothing really to do in the evening, and it would be great if there was something more than just hanging out and drinking at the bar.
There's a lot of it.
If that, I mean, sometimes like you'll see a bunch of people, but like it's not nearly the amount of people that are at BotCon walking around. It's usually just a small select group of people that don't go anywhere. They just hang out, you know. So unless you're hanging out open in a room somewhere, I didn't really see a whole lot of people. But I did see enough, so it was really cool. It would be really great to have something more, like an actual evening thing that isn't just like the dinner and the, you know, Hall of Fame event. You know, it'd be cool if it was just like, hey, we're just gonna hang out and have music and, you know, a place to gather. So, but we'll see.
So how drunk was Tony?
You know what, I
because Tony's always drunk on Facebook.
I did see him, but I wouldn't say that I saw him staggering out. I heard tales that was a Friday night of either Friday night or Saturday. It had to have been Saturday night that Chris McFeely got so drunk that he couldn't even remember what he did the next day after that. So, yeah, he had his moment where he was really teetering.
Now that's a good day at the convention.
Yeah, it was a really great day, and I didn't even get to see it. I was like, how often does Chris McFeely get so, you know, drunk that he can't even walk?
He's Irish, so I'm trying.
Yeah. He was also there with me when I was talking with Townsend Coleman. It was really cool because he was hanging out with me. And then he also joined us when we interviewed Nick and James Sunday night. So cool. I did get to see a lot of Chris McFeely. Tony, I did see him. I just didn't hang out like near him the whole time. I brought him a Twinkies, and you know, every once in a while I'd walk past him and say, "Hey, Tony, how you doing?" And in the morning I'd give him a hug, you know, say, "Hey, good morning. Hope you slept well." And you know, because I hug everybody, it's just, you know,
I know Tony absolutely loved that, as did like the other 99.
I bet, yeah, he's such a sweetheart. Let's see. The best part of it, I guess, was just seeing all of the people that I haven't seen for a year, and hanging out with some of the artists and the writers, and you know, just seeing seeing Simon Furman wearing one of my shirts. That was really awesome.
That's nice. Fantastic.
And I did like they did this little Geeks Against the Creators kind of panel thing that they did last year. They did it this year where they, you know, best their knowledge against the others. And that was really fun too. I mean, every year I was pretty flabbergasted at the things that come out. And, you know, hey, the geeks, we know our stuff. But I'm surprised at times at how much the creators know their stuff, too. I mean, John Paul Beauvais, he was just throwing it down, and it was great. It was great to see everybody and, you know, to see that. So that was cool.
The cool thing is now most of the creators are the geeks.
Yeah, and that's the awesome part is, you know, and you don't get this at BotCon, but, you know, quite literally, like I said, I've gotten a chance to sit down with Townsend Coleman, and you know, these guys are walking among us, and we get a chance to eat breakfast with them or go and hang out with them at the bar for a couple hours, or, you know, you buy them a drink or whatever.
I love that, too.
Iding, he was, like, right there in the dealer room before he got up, and he did I got him to sign a few things before he got up to talk about his, like, you know, guest speak type thing that he was doing. And, you know, he actually took a couple minutes, and I mentioned that I had two kids, and he says, "Oh, what age are they?" And I was like, "Oh," I told him, and he's like, "Oh, did they watch Ben 10? And I was like, "Oh, yeah, they do." And, "Oh, yeah, you're in it, aren't you?" So he pulled out some more stuff that he bought specifically, and he signed it for him, and he says, "Here, give these to your kids." And, you know, he just had a couple of minutes. There was no rush to get through the line. You know, and it was really great. So that's the type of experience you're going to have when you go to auto assemblies, that you can actually go up to guys and talk to them. And, you know, if you're, you know, not kind of crazy and weird, they might actually want to continue to converse with you after.
See, that's cool. One thing about BotCon, and I noticed this around OTFCC 03, I'm like, wow, this is like really big and really official. And especially in the post 3H years, it's really become like corporate's not exactly the right word, but it's just a little bigger than an intimate sort of exchange or environment that you have like with auto assembly. The one thing I thought was really cool about SavCon was that. You could sit down, you could talk to the people. Not that you can't do that at BotCon, but there's just so many people vying for their attention.
Yeah, And then if it's like, you know, instances where you have to pay extra to get an autograph, I didn't have to pay extra. I didn't have to pay anything for it.
Yeah. That's great. And another cool thing is that, not that a lot of those guys don't go to BotCon or won't go to BotCon. A lot of them just can't make it to BotCon because it's like on a whole other continent. So it's a whole different contingent of fans that you get to deal with than you know, most of the BotCon goers get to deal with. I mean, I've known Chris McFeely for years, but I've never met him. And mm-hmm. You know, you've got the chance to, you know, watch him drunk, or you've heard, you know, that. So that's you got me beat. So. That's pretty fantastic.
Kill me dreams of being alone in a room with a drunk McFeely.
No, I don't. Contrary to the way I've made it sound over the years, I really don't. You know, like, it's sad enough being like, bad enough being like in a car with a depressed JD and an angry XV. You know.
Oh, wow.
A a drunk
was McFeely. I angry?
You're always angry. So,
I'm always hate filled, but I don't know if I'm always angry.
That's true. But a drunk McFeely would be like the hat trick, and I just I don't really need that. So, I said that about JD because I know he's watching. But I always, JD just said in the chat, I always have to show my boobs for autographs. If he just said he wasn't that depressed.
He claims he wasn't that depressed. He kind of was, though, after you were telling him what phone he really wanted to buy repeatedly over the weekend.
No, he was angry. He wasn't depressed. He's like, quit telling me what I want. Quit telling me what I think. I'm like that.
Because that's such an unreasonable demand, not telling him what he thinks.
Yeah. I really love the convention going experience. I really love getting to see friends that I don't get to see that often. Cons are like the best thing ever. There totally wouldn't be a fandom. Just imagine if the fandom was nothing but like basement dwelling people.
Well,
like it was prior to 93,
94 to like 2003, I think. Yeah, I mean,
I think it was before that. I think BotCon helped get people out of their shell. Maybe.
I think that anytime you go out of your way to continually meet fans, that you're getting out of your shell, and that's always a good thing.
Yeah.
JD just pointed out that he bought the phone that I recommended. Galaxy S3.
I told him not to tell you that, because now they're all just being a living with you.
I'm jealous. I want it. I don't have it.
That's too funny.
I'm stuck with my Galaxy Nexus. Okay, sweet. Let's go ahead and jump to Amy and Nicole's review of Rescue Bots. It was, what was it, Shake Up?
Shake Up and Rescue Boy.
Hello, and we're back once again with Rescue Bots Review. I'm Amy.
I'm Nick. Hi.
And we are going to review two episodes because The Hub went ahead and broadcasted two episodes this last weekend, and they're going to do it again next weekend. So let's see how far we can get, right? The first one we are going to review quickly is the episode called Shake Up, Yeah, this one, I really liked it because basically the rundown of it is that Frankie is doing a video assignment for school or something. And
yeah, it's for like the audiovisual class or something.
Yeah,
like that.
You weren't quite sure what it was that she was really trying to do until the very end. You're like, oh, okay, cool. But in this, like she's trying to video, and so Cade. Says, oh, I want to be famous.
Oh, and Cade wants to be the star.
He
so
does.
He gets it every way he possibly can.
Yes. And she also wants to get the bots. And so he says, okay, sure. And then she says, take five. She actually just wants to get the bots, not Cade. But he thinks that he's going to be famous. So she starts videoing the bots, and she tries to get them dancing, and they have, of course, they're trying to play robots, so they're like, what's dancing, and you know, all that stuff. And
honestly, I don't think Heatwave wanted to dance anyway.
No, he was like, this look like, you're gonna make me what? You're gonna make me transform and listen.
The bobs in his hands, you're just like, oh, that's so cute.
that he did not want to obey the bidding of Frankie either, because that's what Kay told him. Robot rescue bots, listen to Frankie's in charge from now on, for a while. And I'm going, oh no, this is going to end in tears. But because of this video that she's making, her dad is like, oh, I'm going to go practice, because he sees them trying to dance and stuff like that. And he's like, no, you dance like this. And he starts dancing and doing his cool moves, which are kind of not so cool to,
it's,
you know, Frankie.
It's kind of like Elaine on Seinfeld moves.
Yeah, that's a good one right there. But he goes and says he's going to go practice his moves for the next time that she records. And so he goes off and he starts playing this jukebox down in, what was it, the archives or whatnot.
Yeah,
and it's wirelessly sending a signal to this big subwoofer that's down underneath everything in the tunnels that starts making earthquakes. And so the whole episode is about finding out what are causing these earthquakes while Frankie is still catching little videos of the rescue bots. And they're trying to start, you know, they have to be extra careful because they don't want to be videoed and put out on YouTube because they have they've got to keep their identities. So it's great. They've got a lot of little fun moments in it that are just hilarious.
This episode also has to deal with Chase learning Earth humor.
Yes, because they just recently saw a humorous video at the beginning. It was like, oh, humor. And so
they watched a Three Stooges movie, and so they're just trying to play off of it.
yeah. It was funny because it was just like he was so not worried. You know, it was funny to me, even though it was a really serious moment. He's like, that wasn't so funny, Chase. He's like, dow. So, and it happened a couple times, but I was still laughing because it was funny to hear him mess it up. It was crazy.
And he dropped, and that's what she said joke.
Yes.
I was just like, are you kidding? That's awesome. Yeah.
It was great because she was like, what?
What?
What did he say?
And then he tried to do a knock knock joke and he starts with ding dong.
Ding dong, yeah.
Can I tell you, I am loving Chase more and more. He's got
hilarious.
This dry sense of humor, but it's so well done.
Or the part where he tries to, throw a pie on Heatwave, and Heatwave's not so happy about that. And he's like,
that wasn't the right time.
That was definitely not the right time. And he's like, yes, that wasn't.
That pie, anyways. Where'd you get that anyways? Oh, this wasn't the right time?
No, not at all.
Chase definitely took him. This
I really liked this because this one really made me laugh. I had to write it down when I heard it. It was great. Where Blades, that was up in the air, that said, there's no such thing as a skyquake, is there? And I was like,
they dropped a lot of Transformers. They kept it saying sound waves.
Yes.
So is this going to be sound waves? This is going to be sound waves.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really hope there's not a skyquake.
And I was like unfortunately, there is a skyquake. Wow, that's funny. It's great. Oh goodness! But yeah, the other thing that happens in this is it kind of gets this little serious vibe because while they're going down into the tunnels to find where this shaking is coming from, Frankie, who was told to go home several times, she shows back up and follows
Frankie
them down
takes
into
after
the tunnel,
her father by not listening.
Yeah. She kind of did. She sort of kind of did. And while she's in there, it goes off again while they're taking the big subwoofer out, and the cave starts to crumble around her. And Heatwave and the guys are there, like they find out that she's still in the tunnel. And so Heatwave tells the guys to get out of there. He's going to go back for her. And it was just like this moment. It was like, I really love Heatwave. Well, I mean, as much as I love Chase and I love Blades and I love Boulder, everybody's like having their moments. But he goes to save her and he's like all trying to, he's absolutely trying to stay in robot mode in that whole robot thing. And he's like, he's taking rocks off and he's like, it was just such a good moment.
Yeah. And then you guys got to watch this because the last two minutes, you're just like, I love Heatwave.
Yes, you're like, it's a tender moment. Yeah, exactly. You get this nice little tender moment because it's like, he saves Frankie. It's like really serious because she's like, there's all this dust that's coming up and she's like, I can't breathe. And he's like leaning over trying to keep the cavern from falling down on top of him. And he's like, and he finally breaks it. He just as she's like trying to stay awake, and he's like, Boulder, stop! You're gonna make a cave in on us. And I was like, it was great. They did. That was a perfect moment. It was like that made the whole episode for me.
So basically, the question is, does she know or not? Now that's what the viewers have to go back and watch.
Yeah,
so.
Because. Yeah, you're not quite...
Does Frankie know the secrets of the rescue bot?
And we're not going to reveal that. You're going to have to figure it out for yourself.
No, I go watch it because it's a good episode.
It was an intense moment and it was really great. So yeah, that's Shake Up for you. So now we're going to switch gears real quick and go to the next one, which is Rescue Boy, which the rundown on this one is that Cody gets superpowers.
I thought, I'm like, this is such a good superhero origin story. And of course, every little boy right now, he's superheroes are huge. It's exploding in the world.
Yeah, so we've got Spider-Man, we've got the Avengers, we've got Thor, we've got all of these movies that are just flooding the market right now. So kids right now, especially that age, are like, hey, I want to be a superhero. This was the perfect episode for that. It was an extremely solid episode because of that.
And I think this was a good episode for little kids because they got to learn, okay, I got these superpowers. Just like Spider-Man, with great powers comes great responsibility. And it shows in this episode, okay, this are the consequences. Yeah, you get to have fun. You get to be the hero. But you got to make the right choices. So.
Yeah. So basically how it starts out is that Cody, the other rescue team, are busy taking care of a fire, and this building has become unstable, and so he goes in and helps save this guy, but then he goes back for his hoverboard, which I have to say, if I had a hoverboard, I would have gone back for it too.
Yeah, you know, they only got a couple more years.
Yeah, quite literally. I mean, hey, Back to the Future promised by this time I would have a hoverboard, and they've reneged on their promise.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so that kind of sets this whole thing off, is that they're like, oh, you know, Cody won't stay out of trouble, and so we need to keep him safe, and everybody, like quite literally everybody, and even the rescue bots, because he was that close to being squished really badly. And so because of that, they go to Doc Green, and Doc Green makes him this, like, repulsor thing that's in this badge that he gets to wear on his chest.
It's almost Iron Man-ish.
Yeah, it did have an Iron Man vibe, but I was look.
It had the symbol of the rescue.
Yeah, it had that on there. That's us. And a little knob. And a little knob to turn it up to make it like full blast. Yeah. And when he did that, he was like instant glow bug Cody. His hair was like all flying, sticking up on end, and he was like glowing. Like,
Is this going to be our circuit breaker moment for the cartoons?
Yes, it was very circuit breaker-ish. That was great. But yeah, then he says, badge on. And I was like, oh gosh, wow, all these references are great. He's using it, and then he starts using it to save people. And of course, his dad's like, that's not what you got it for. It's what it was intended. It's intended to protect you, not to protect you while you put yourself into dangerous situations. Mm-hmm. And so it gets taken away from him, and he gets sent back to the command center to just be the rescue person answering the phones. And like, hey, is Rescue Boy going to save us? He's like, no, Rescue Boy is not going to save you. And then one of this little kid, he gets a kite that's stuck up on this big, huge pole.
Yeah, it's like a transmission tower.
Yeah. And then they have to go to save the little kid, but the wind is blowing really bad and it's unstable. And so the rescue team is still is having a hard time getting up there. And even though Cody knows that he's grounded, he's watching what's going on. And he goes and gets the badge and he saves the kid. But then when he does that, it malfunctions and he starts having consequences to using this thing. And then they have to go and help and save Cody again. And in the end, it was good. It was good because, like, quite literally, it was about responsibility. And you could get that he was trying to get, but I had to help because you guys couldn't get to him. And, you know, he was doing it for the right reasons at that point. It was just, he's still so young. So,
I know. You know, the part that I really liked about this episode is Chief Burns acts like a father. He's not his friend. He is a father figure, and he doesn't put up with bull crap. And he tells him,
he comes down on him a little bit harder than he has in other episodes. It was like, I really liked that because it really put him in that position. Not only that is that, and everybody else kind of was agreeing with Chief. And that was really good because Cody is a little kid and he was putting himself into kind of dangerous situations. And it was kind of going to his, even though he was doing it for the right reasons, he was relying a little bit too much on this instrument. And of course, when the badge goes crazy, it does. It was great power. That was great power that had to have a little bit more responsibility with it. So it was really good. In the end, he ends up, I don't remember how this one ended. How did it end?
They had to get the Doc made special gloves that.
And then they had to walk really slowly to get to it.
The force field.
And they, it blew up and they threw it at, and then, exploded and all of that fun stuff. And then that was the end. So the moral of the story is be careful with your badge because it might explode.
Yeah, it was a really cute episode. It's a good one for little kids who look up to superheroes. So,
So that's the two episodes that we had this weekend. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know why they're giving us two episodes this week and two episodes next week. Do we know how many episodes we're going to get? I thought we said we're going to get 23, and then we're going to get 28.
I'm thinking these next two that this week is the finish because Transformers Prime starts up next week. So I'm thinking they don't want to put the two Transformers shows together
at the same
time.
They want
to, yeah. So Prime will this is my guess. I haven't heard anything.
Yeah,
so,
we haven't heard anything.
So Prime will start
guessing.
And it will finish, and Rescue Bots will come back with their second season.
Okay. Yeah,
that's
good.
That's my guess. So
awesome. All right. Well, that's our review. You can catch us next week when we review two more. Woohoo!
Yeah. And we have the good evil Dr. Morocco back.
Yes. Tim Curry, we love you.
Yay!
thank you, Amy, for that. You're fantastic.
Thank you.
We're so glad that you're back stateside where you're needed. We need you here. What are your kids doing back there, by the way?
They're catching bugs.
Eating Legos?
No, they're catching bugs and putting it in the little bug catcher.
Hey, guys, little, eat Legos. They're delicious.
I will relay them the message.
They're fantastic. So follow us on Twitter, at TF Radio. You can like us on Facebook. Seriously, do it. I think we might be at 1,000 fans right now. At facebook.com/TF Radio. That is if Diecast hasn't unliked us again during the show. Which he probably has. You know, maybe not. And you can follow me personally. I am at B Kilby and facebook.com/Brian Kilby. XV does not exist in social media. Rob Clay, how about you, sir?
You can find me on Twitter at FlailThroughs. And matter of fact, we are the FlailThroughs website is having a contest for our second anniversary. You can win your very own chance to be as confused as we are with some Japanese Game Boy games, including Pokemon Blue.
Pokemon Blue came out here, though, didn't it?
Okay, this is complicated, but I'll try and keep it short. The Pokemon Blue we got was actually Pokemon Green. The first two that came out in Japan are Red and Green. You know how there's a third version of every Pokemon game? In Japan, Blue was that third version. It got updated graphics, which they used for our Red and Blue. But what I'm giving away is actually a completely separate game with slightly different, you know, sets of monsters than either our Red or Blue.
Confused yet?
I am slightly confused.
Yeah.
Yay!
Well, don't hurt
just
yourself.
Just shake your head and just say, cool.
And the cool thing is, if you have a system that will play a Game Boy game, it'll play that.
Mm-hmm.
Such as a Game Boy.
Yes.
Yes. Game Boy Advance.
Yeah. Game Boy Color.
Mm-hmm.
So any flavor of the Game Boy.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Sweet. And Amy, what about you? How can we
You can find me on Twitter at Lady of Wreck.
Very cool, very cool. I just want to mention because I can't sign into the chat. Diecast, aww, you don't count as number 1,000. You don't count at all. Because Don, yes, you did fall asleep. Yes, you did. It was great. Okay, so that's the show for this week, I guess. Unless Don has something to add. I don't even want to read that.
It's the last word in, right?
Yeah. We've
lost Don for the moment.
I can't mention that on the show, but I will just mention that Don fell asleep, and it was impressive. I couldn't have done that. Could not have done that. But we certainly woke him up, thanks to Peter. Okay, so that's the show for this week. I love BotCon. I cannot wait till BotCon 2013.
I'm sure it'll be awesome.
It will be. XV, you going back?
Depends where it is. If they do it in California again, I'm out.
How about if they do it in Nashville?
They could, but Nashville sucks.
That's true. So we will be back next week. Thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for being on. We'll see you later. Have a good one.
Have a good one. Yep.
Bye.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron.
Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2012 TF Radio Network.